Welcome to She Talks Tech, the brand new podcast from We Are Tech Women.
Next time you're on the tube, have a look at all the adverts that are around you for the challenger banks and pet insurance companies and all that sort of thing, right? These very retail-focused fintechs. Always, they're chasing experience. What they want to do is they want to make it easier to gain and then retain customers through an engaging and frictionless experience. So you should try and count the number of adverts that say simplified.
I'm Vanessa Vallalio-Bee, founder of We Are The City and We Are Tech Women. As an individual that's been a technologist both in the corporate space and as an entrepreneur, I know how tough it can be to rise to the top of our profession. Women in tech make up just 17% of the industry in the UK, and those stats do not improve even if you look overseas. At We Are Tech Women, we want you to rise to the top of the industry. We want you to sit into senior positions and be key decision makers. The She Talks Tech podcast will bring you stories, lessons and tips from some of the most inspirational women and men in the industry. Today we hear from Tim Dinsdale in his session about the state of fintech. Tim is the European CTO at OpenFin and is responsible for leading the firm's technology efforts. Part of Tim's role is to expand OpenFin's London-based development team and drive OpenFin's desktop services initiatives globally. Tim's session will provide an overview of innovation in fintech for 2020. Tim will also share his insights into what fintech actually is and what's driving innovation from both a retail and institutional perspective.
I'm really, really proud and happy to be presenting to you for We Are The Tech Women today. And my job today is going to be to take you through what fintech looks like and where it came from, what it's doing, and where we think it's going in the future. I'm going to be telling you about where I think it came from, what I think it looks like today, and what I think the important parts are of it, which to me is all about the ecosystem. I'm going to be trying to persuade you that actually you should be getting excited about ecosystems in your world as well. And then finally, hopefully, I'm going to persuade you that OpenFin is an exciting place and that maybe you might think about it. All right, without further ado, let's press some buttons. So the first thing that everybody always asks about fintech is where did it come from at all? Because fintech is such a vast, vast, vast area that everybody is slightly bewildered when you start sort of looking into fintech. So, you know, like going right back to the roots, I think is really, really useful to understand the drive and the reasons that this exists. Now, finance companies, they're huge tech firms. They are vast, vast, vast tech firms. They have huge numbers of proprietary systems, and they all are completely unable to move the way that existing tech firms do. They can't move fast and break things. I know Facebook don't do that anymore, but that was very much the Silicon Valley way. The way that this is solved is that they can outsource in creative ways. And of course, if you're a tiny, scrappy little company who thinks that you can do better, competing with them is very, very appealing. This whole sort of way of saying, okay, fine, how can I get all the advantages of a tech firm, the move fast and break things ethos, and none of the disadvantages? How can I make that be a thing? And that's, of course, where fintech came from. Fintech isn't one thing at all. It is not even vaguely one thing. There's a whole load of different fintech categories, not even individual companies. But I think broadly, you can break the state of fintech down into three big buckets. The first is retail, where it sort of merges with challenger banks. I've put them in that list. But then there's a whole load of others, like loans companies, brokers, smart finance solutions. Then there's the institutional, which as a consumer, you tend to be less aware of. And these are very, 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 very complicated. And I've put a tiny little list of sort of things there. And we'll maybe dive into that a little bit more. And we can look at the individual points that are going on. And then lastly, there's a sort of another category of fintechs, which I've called general. And those are the sort of companies that aren't really fintech companies, but are more geared towards general purpose solutions, which just happen to have a very specific need in finance. And you can see like stuff like relationship management or data analytics. You know, these are the things which finance often is looking to expand and grow into, but are not necessarily specialized there. The first thing that people always talk about with the history of fintech is the barriers to entry. If you want to come in, you just can't just start a bank. You can't just say, okay, fine, great. This afternoon, I'm going to open a bank. In order to open a bank, you need an unimaginably large number of things. You need a lot of regulatory compliance. You need a lot of money in just pure, raw capital that is going to keep you safe with all the capital requirements. And the regulatory stuff that's there is often very, very complicated and very dense and very specialized. The one that I like to talk about is the SMR regulation. The SMR regulation is a new UK, well, relatively new UK regulation, which requires your senior managers to understand everything that goes on in your bank. So the SMR is a big problem for tech firms because, of course, it means that you need to have a deep understanding all the way down. Now, as a vendor, assuming you don't want to start a bank and you want to sell to a bank instead, bank procurement is legendarily slow, which means that you can be waiting for months and months and months and months before the wheels eventually turn and you can get into a system. And even when you're there, you need to integrate with a huge number of bespoke solutions in the bank. And then, of course, the last barrier to entry is that from anywhere you sit, either as an internal developer or as a vendor or as a competitor, a lot of the decision makers in finance don't understand technology. They're not stupid. They're all very, very smart people, but they don't have technology backgrounds. They all have finance backgrounds, which means they understand what it is they want to get to, but they don't necessarily understand how they're going to get there. But the thing is, building an app, it's actually fairly straightforward, right? So on the retail side, what this means is that we've seen this huge explosion in these sort of app-based solutions. I think what characterizes these app-based solutions is always the experience. If we ever get to go back on public transport, next time you're on the tube, have a look at all the adverts that are around you for the sort of challenger banks and pet insurance companies and all that sort of thing, right? These very retail-focused fintechs. Always, they're chasing experience. What they want to do is they want to make it easier to gain and then retain customers through an engaging and frictionless experience. So you should try and count the number of adverts that say simplified or removes the hassle or not intimidating. This is really good for the industry. This is really good for the industry because this is forcing conversation around user experience right back into the consciousness of everybody everywhere. And of course, one of the things about these fintechs, these app-based retail fintechs, is sometimes they're not even doing the fin. Sometimes they're just doing the tech. It might well be that what they're doing is they're outsourcing the actual finance to an established partner. Not all of them do that, but it's sometimes worth looking at. And this is the solution. And this is a nice symbiotic relationship then between a young challenger company who's providing a very useful service and an existing company who maybe can't, as we said, move fast and break things. OpenFin is much more on the institutional side. On the institutional side, it's a much more complicated play. Now, if I said it's hard to start a retail bank, I mean, it's basically impossible to start an investment bank. So the fintechs that are in the institutional side, they're working with the very, very big companies. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to replace the existing home rolled technology, right? The existing kind of inefficiencies within the system. And sometimes they're trying to solve legacy vendor problems as well, right? Existing ancient vendor systems. Because again, remember, banks are big. Banks are complicated, but banks are tech firms. Now, what characterizes this, I think, is that very often they're solving very niche problems with sophisticated general purpose tools, or they're building very, very specialized tools that maybe they can generalize later. So you see there's this constant theme of specialization in the institution. And that, of course, takes us to the ecosystem. Banks are not backwards, not at all. They have a lot of really, really smart people who work for them, who produce incredibly sophisticated solutions, but they are just unimaginably complicated institutions. Like, unimaginably. If you have ever worked at a non-bank and you come and you look at the size of the code bases in all of the major banks, it blows your mind. And a lot of that code is very, very, very specialist. Very, very specialist indeed, where there is a very, very complicated workflow on your traders, your asset managers, your salesperson's desktop. So this means, remember, we talked about how a lot of these fintechs are solving very, very niche problems. They can't be completely separate. They have to be able to knit into the ecosystem that is sat in front of them. And that ecosystem is going to be an ecosystem of existing tools. It's going to be big vendors. It's going to be other vendors. It's going to be maybe other tiny little fintechs. And then it's going to be existing code that maybe just knits this together. Maybe it's doing very specialist things the bank does. It's the bank's secret sauce. But the ecosystem play doesn't really stop there. This is, I think, probably the most fascinating part of fintech. And it's something that I think people don't necessarily internalize until they get completely up to their eyeballs in it. There are some things that banks just don't compete over, actually. And everybody is completely fine with this. Now, this is a product of the global financial crisis. And that is that stability and regulatory compliance are things that people just want to be there as a baseline. people don't want banks competing over who is the most stable. And by people here, I specifically mean regulators and governments. They want the banks all to be stable, and they want the banks all to be compliant with regulatory burdens. Now, this is a huge opportunity for fintechs, because here is a place where these banks can all get together and agree on standards that are going to make the industry better. And this is just better for everybody. This is better for the banks. This is better for the people who use the banks. This is better for just basically, you know, all of civilization. Now, this means agreeing to cooperate on things like tech risk. It means to agree to cooperate on things like cloud technologies. You know, if everybody can agree that this is a cloud technology that is completely standard and stable and presents no institutional risk, then this is something that we should all agree on, everybody should use. This is a big opportunity for fintechs, who can bring their very, very specialist technical knowledge and bring together banks as, you know, external members of hopefully a new ecosystem. But of course, then the banks then still go and compete on prices and products. This is not cartelization. This is an opportunity for banks to make the world better in this part of the world, whilst then focusing on their core competencies over here, where they do compete savagely. And the ecosystems then keep on happening. Now, there are a lot of existing vendors in finance. Some of them started off as tiny, scrappy little fintechs. Some of them have become huge, great big behemoths. Some of them probably don't consider themselves fintechs. Some of them, like, probably do and maybe aren't. But it means that all of these vendors are all producing very, very different specialist solutions. So a really good example is IBM. IBM is a huge general purpose vendor for lots and lots of different banks. Is it a fintech? No, of course not. But IBM produces very specialist database technology, which is used pretty much everywhere, right? So what does that mean as a tiny little company? It means that as a tiny little company who's trying to break into the world, you need to look at this ecosystem of vendors, and you need to understand how it is that you're going to stitch yourself into that particular universe of existing technology. And this ecosystem of vendors is incredibly important, because each one of these vendors is both competing in their individual little silos, but they're also trying to join forces so that they're compatible with other vendors who do complementary things. And of course, it means you get this incredibly beautiful and complicated network of vendors who are all working together and also working against each other. So what do? I get to give myself a brief OpenFin plug now that I've sort of told you how fintechs work, the sort of the state of the universe and where it all is. Where do we sit? OpenFin has what we consider to be a best-in-breed technology solution, which enables you to put together the software that's going to enable you to knit together into these ecosystems. We're a great believer in the ecosystem play. We're a great believer in making sure that different companies can work together, all of these different niche people can work together in the institutional space to build these great, big, complicated platforms that are going to push finance into the next generation of technology. We do that through building tools that let you start by turning your tiny little application ideas into great, big, complicated, and beautiful experiences. And we're building ever bigger Lego bricks so that you can, instead of starting out with just a blank HTML page and an idea, start taking these little Lego bricks and putting these into places so that you can start turning this into this great, big, and complicated ecosystem that is the modern financial desktop.
A huge thank you, Tim, for joining us on this episode of She Talks Tech. Both Tim and OpenFin are such a huge supporter of our work at We Are Tech Women. We are hugely grateful. If you want to find out more about OpenFin, you can visit them on the web, or you can find out about Tim by looking him up on LinkedIn. So a huge thank you to all of you for listening. We really appreciate it. We'd appreciate it even more if you pop on and you subscribe so you know what's coming next, and give our podcast that 5-star rating. We really look forward to welcoming you next Wednesday morning for a brand new episode of She Talks Tech from We Are Tech Women.